welcome to episode 49, I told you Miami were poo. Except change the poo for the other word. You know what I mean. My name's Harry, and as always, I'm joined by Ben.
Hello, everyone. I am about to get absolutely roasted this episode because, yes, Miami did not do well.
Not only, Ben, are you going to get roasted, the whole NBA world is being roasted right now. I went onto Google and I searched play-in predictions, right?
Yep.
And I took like the top six websites, one of them being ESPN. Do you want to know how many people picked the Hawks to win this game?
I'm going to say none of them. I reckon all of them picked the Heat.
Everybody had the Heat winning this game. Everybody. Do you know who didn't watch the Hawks versus Heat? Me, because I knew that the Hawks were going to win. I didn't even watch the game.
Man.
Didn't help. It was at 9:30 in the morning and I haven't been well, but I didn't even watch the game. That's how confident I was that I looked at that and I was like, oh yeah, Hawks have got this easy. I don't understand this fascination with everyone that seems to think that the Heat are a good team. I do not understand at all.
Look, I guess we're just getting straight into this. I don't root for the Heat. I don't think they're a crazy good team, but I thought that their experience, their coaching, they've historically been a surprisingly good playoff team. They made it to the finals against the Lakers when no one thought they'd get that far. So I just thought the track record would speak for itself and they'd do a little bit better against, to be honest, a Hawks team that hasn't been playing incredibly well. So that was my logic, but the Hawks went and completely proved everyone wrong.
But why does
kind of crazy.
Everyone think that Miami is like this superpower of a team? They suck!
Man, you've been really harsh on them this season, I think unfairly so, but you're totally right now, and I kind of have to eat my words, because that whole game, Atlanta just looked so comfortable. They won 116 to 105, but I don't even think the score was an indication of how the game was. It just looked like they were in control the whole way through.
This was the only play-in game that wasn't good.
Yeah, all the other play-in games were great, actually, but
we'll talk about that.
But like, we'll get the bad one over and done first.
It wasn't even close. They were leading by 10 like the whole time. Jimmy Butler sucked. Playoff Jimmy is dead.
Man, I think the biggest two takeaways for me was, number one, Jimmy was really inefficient. He had a very poor showing for a game that usually we have playoff Jimmy. I just feel like, he didn't hit a three. He went 6 from 19 from the field, shooting 31%. Just didn't look comfortable at all. And the other big story, which honestly, I probably have to eat my words again, is that the Hawks' depth kind of like really helped. And
they played team basketball.
They had 7 players in double-digit points. Like they weren't great overall, but from the three-point line, I think Trey was like 1 for 8 from three-point.
Yeah.
But like as a team, they had so many guys out there. Like Sadiq Bey, what a good trade. Huge pickup for the team grabbing him. I mean, Bogdanovich has still got it. He was actually shooting pretty efficiently considering. They just, had so many guys who were like, we're here to step up. So I got to eat my words.
I just don't understand why everyone thinks that Miami are good. And they're always like, Miami. Like, the amount of talk time that Miami gets compared to how bad they are, that's what annoys me about the Miami Heat. It's like the Lakers. Even when the Lakers suck, everyone talks about them. It's the same thing with Miami. They suck.
I think it's a fair argument because they are, I mean, they're not like a huge market team, but they're one of the slightly bigger teams. Obviously had a lot of, I guess, with the LeBron era and stuff. So they're a bigger team. They got a big fan base, but they probably do get a lot more praise when they're, look, I'll be honest, kind of mid.
So mid. It's almost like, you know, if you can't get anything else good out of Butler, blow it up. Like, you've got Butler and Lowry on this team. You just picked up K-Love. Like, wow, he really moves the needle.
They're honestly like a surprisingly old team. And it really puts a big question mark about what they're doing going forward. Because, Kyle Lowry, to be fair, he had a good game at 33 points. But he's not what he used to be. Jimmy's getting older. They've got Udonis Haslem, who's like the oldest guy in the league. But he actually just played his last game. Shout out Udonis.
We've got an unplayable Duncan Robinson.
Oh, that's got to be the worst contract that we've had in the last, like, 3 years. That's so bad. So
and it's like...
Where do you go from here if you're the Heat?
Blow it up.
Yeah, I think I would too, which is kind of crazy.
Bam would get a very, very, very big haul with with how well he plays it at the five. And I think you'd get a decent amount of return for Tyler Hero.
Yeah,
and you blow it up, have a bit of fun. I think the big thing for Atlanta, I think that the coaching has started to hit at the right time because...
Well, actually, that's a good point too. You did predict earlier in the season when they picked up the ex-Jazz coach, Quinn Snyder, they'd make a good step in the right direction, and looks like they have.
Look, when you go 24% from the three-point line as a team... You usually don't win games.
That's very true.
So the fact that they were able to pivot away and get the free throws, get the field goals that they needed to get the W, that I think speaks about superior. Look, and they played good team basketball. And what were the Jazz known for? Good team basketball.
Yeah. That's very true. And they've kind of got a very one-dimensional center with Clint Capella. Reminds me a little bit of Gobert. He had 21 rebounds too, so holding down the inside caused a lot of trouble for the Heat. So
eight offensive rebounds, though. Eight.
Yeah, that was huge. Think about all those second-chance points.
Dude, the Miami Heat had 6 offensive rebounds in the whole team.
Yep, compared to the Hawks, 22. So... Yeah, I think the Hawks just honestly had the depth. All of them just outplayed the Heat. And honestly, yeah, I think the Heat should blow it up because someone like Bam, with like just a good defending, like versatile center, he's like a prototype of what centers are these days. He would be hot property on the market. So blow it up.
This Atlanta team's always been a little bit disappointing because I think they've got the depth and they've got the players to do quite well. So maybe next year we'll get to see. Maybe it was the coach. Maybe.
Perhaps.
Now they have the Jazz's coach. Now they have Quinn Snyder. Maybe this is the combination where they could start getting hot again.
True. Although I will say this is still a disappointing season from the Hawks. I mean, look, they made the playoffs, so props to them. But I just feel like that DeJounte Murray trade that everyone was so hype on just hasn't panned out to what we expected. But look, like you said, new coach. Maybe, yeah, coming into a new season, we'll see what they can produce.
I think for the talent that the Hawks have, play-ins is definitely a disappointment. 100%. Yep. 100%. Yep. But I think they've got 7th, so that means they'll be versing Boston.
Yeah, they're going to get cooked.
they might get cooked. They probably will get cooked, but let's... I don't like... they're probably going to get cooked, but they can... They can bounce back for next season, and I'm curious to see what they can do with a whole season of Quinn and see what they can improve with.
Absolutely. Definitely agree. And, I mean, look, technically the Heat aren't out just yet because they do get a second chance because they play the winner of the Raptors-Bulls game. Which segue.
Into... I thought this game was going to be really boring. I had it on in the background while I was doing other things, and the Raptors were... absolutely killing the Bulls. Absolutely killing it. And then the Bulls out of nowhere just brought it back and it was an absolute nail-biter of a finish.
Yeah, it just kicked into a new gear. I mean, they were down 19 points, the Bulls were, at one point. So like you said, it looked like it was kind of over. But LaVine is like, hold up, let me start cooking. And third quarter just went wild. He was hitting everything. It was kind of crazy.
Just insane. Absolutely crazy. And then it was super tight at the end. I don't know if... So, I know you watched the highlights. I watched, like, the last quarter of the game. Did you... I don't know if the highlights would have shown you. Did you know that DeMar's daughter was screaming during the Raptors' free throws? And I low-key think it put them off. It was so funny.
Well, I think it did. Because, like, Siakam went, like, 1-for-3 at the line or something while she was screaming. Oh. Like, I actually put here in the notes, great defense from DeMar's daughter, honestly, that's part of it. You gotta have the crowd involved. It was a Raptors home game. because he was actually not going to bring her originally, but obviously he played in Toronto, so that's kind of like their second home. So she was like, I got to come watch you play like at Toronto. What a game to watch. And he's like, no, you got to stay in school. But then eventually he obviously caved, and I think he was glad he did because she was clutch.
And I feel bad for Siakam. Like, he had an opportunity to really make the game difficult, and going missing two from three. With like 20 seconds to go or like a minute to go, really, really hurt Toronto. But yeah. I saw a lot of discussion on Reddit, people were like, oh, she should have been ejected, like blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I feel like because they were a Raptors home game, no one else was cheering during the Raptors free throws, which is why we could hear her screaming so much.
Yeah.
If it was the other way around.
She was yelling anything rude out. Like, if someone's like fully like just swearing from the crowd, sure enough, eject them. But like, that's kind of just cheering in a different way.
Yeah, no, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was fair game.
100%.
Like the way that home stadiums encourage the crowd to like do pretty much whatever they can to annoy free throw shooters from the opposing team. I don't think screaming is unfair at all. I think
it's part of it.
I think the Raptors are just salty that it so obviously threw their guys off. So
yeah, it's unorthodox, but it worked. So that was a good strat.
So
but yeah, Siakam. I mean, he had a decent game other than his free throws. I think he had 32 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. So he was trying to keep the Raptors in there.
That was pretty much just like Siakam and Fred VanVleet that were doing anything though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Freddie had 12 rebounds. This dude's like 6 feet flat, like if that. He's not even that tall, and he had 12 rebounds. Led the team in rebounding. Like, what are they doing?
I don't know. To be quite honest, and there's been a lot of talk about Nick Nurse. I think there's like new management in the Raptors, so like there's a new front office. Right. Like, it's a bit of a different office than it was a couple of years ago, and the big rumor around now is that Nurse is on the way out.
Ooh, okay. I feel like there'd be a lot of teams that would be kind of keen to snap him up.
So oh, yes. Please, Nick Nurse, please go to the Rockets. We would love to have you.
Oh, man.
Pretty 100%. Please.
But yeah, no, that was a bit of an exciting game to finish, which is pretty exciting. Oh, my shout out for like the difference maker, which I guess in a smaller way, just Caruso. I feel like there's a lot of hype behind him. But he backs it up. He honestly had so many clutch stops. He had 3 steals, 3 blocks. But just the number of times he locked down the defense. Like, even like Siakam, I think, was driving in on him. He's got like a good like multiple inches on height. But he just stayed on him and forced him to pass it out. Like, Caruso's always just been a solid defender. So it's good to see for the Bulls.
We do enjoy a bit of the Caruso. I think he's like one of the few guards to consistently average high blocks and steals every season.
Yeah, he's just always in the right place at the right time. Technically, he's listed as a forward, which is kind of crazy, because I guess he kind of plays the shooting guard small forward. For this game, he was listed as a forward, which is just how like ESPN small the Bulls are playing. Guard. Yeah, no, technically he is a shooting guard, but on like the NBA website, depending on what lineup they start with in the starters, sometimes they mix it up. So it's kind of funny to see Caruso, who's pretty much like used to be what the size of a point guard would be. He's effectively playing small forward, so... Yeah, small lineup for the Bulls. Like DeMar is a power forward when he used to be a shooting guard.
Yeah, ESPN just goes DeMarvelous, SF, then you've got Vooch at C, then Bev at PG, and then Caruso and Levine are shooting guards.
Yeah, like actually list their proper positions. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and Pat Bev, a bit of a quiet game, to be honest, but I feel like you just need some of that hustle there.
he's not out there to score, let's be real.
No. He's
out there to sort of bring that grit and grime that just somehow seems to uplift everyone around him.
Certainly spurs them on.
Did you hear that Pat Bev ran into one of the Raptors executives or something in the tunnel? And he said to this Raptors person, oh yeah, your team is dog poo.
trust him to make that call. The exec's just like, bro, what?
Look, this dude's a clown, but I can't help but like him sometimes.
He's entertaining, I'll give him that.
It's just, there's no replacing, he's just turned all the way up. It's hilarious, I love him. I hate him, but I love him.
We should make a bit of a prediction, because next up is going to be the Bulls versus the Heat. I would have said the Heat before, but the Heat really didn't play well, and the Bulls had some good momentum against the Raptors. Like, that comeback, if they can get their guys cooking, like if DeMar or LaVine can just get hot, that's GG. So I'm kind of going Bulls on this one, to be honest.
Here's the thing. I want the Bulls to win, but
so
I don't
know.
Tell
me about to back the Heat after racing them so
I
hard.
I know, but the Chicago Bulls have all have consistently let me down this season.
That's true. They have been
consistently. Here's the question, right? Do you think... Because were the Bulls at home? No, they were in Toronto.
Yep.
Because...
Yeah, it seemed like they overcame the home court advantage.
Do you think Miami would lose from home twice in a row?
If DeMar brings his daughter, then yes. Bring her, and then that's GG.
It's the problem with Chicago, right, is that they could be ice hot, or they could be as cold, and you don't know which version of the Chicago Bulls you're going to get.
That is true. They have not been consistent this season at all.
Look, I don't like the Heat, but screw it. Let's go Bulls.
Okay. All right. So both locking in Bulls, which would be interesting. That'll put them up against the Bucks in the first round.
Oh, they'll get
absolutely swamped. Just stomped by the Bucks. So.
It doesn't matter who wins between the Bulls and the Heat. Either one of them are going to get absolutely stomped.
It's just pretty much deciding who has the privilege of losing to the Bucks. So.
Yeah. It's a shaky yes to the Bulls, but I'm not confident.
That's fair. Well, I guess we'll find out. We get to move now. It was nice to talk about the East. I feel like we haven't got to talk about them very much because the West has been so much more interesting. But moving on to the West, we've had some interesting games. My gosh, which one do you want to start with?
Oh, let's talk about the Thunder Pelicans.
Okay, good, because I'm keen to talk about them. Oh, man, I'm biased because, I mean, we're Aussies, but what a game from Giddy. Almost a triple-double, 31 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. Love to see it. On 50% shooting, too. Efficient game.
You know, he did really well. Well, he sort of had to step up because at the beginning, the Pelicans were not letting SGA do anything.
Yep. No, even he said in the post-game interview, he's like, yeah, they were just locking me up in the first half. He had a very quiet first half.
Yes.
But then really stepped up second half, ended up with 32 points on 50% shooting too. So really brought it back, but it seemed like the Pelicans' game plan were like, yeah, we're just going to lock down your guy who's like averaging over 30, which is probably the right call.
And it was working. Like, yeah. Here's the thing, right? At the beginning of the game, especially in the first half, the New Orleans Pelicans were just... aggressive, we're playing really hard basketball. They had a game plan. Valanciunas was playing really, like, Valanciunas was making those young little boys pay. Like,
Valanciunas, he got like the first like three misses he got as offensive rebound to put it straight back in. He was right from the get go, was playing hard. So, like, 18 rebounds.
The Pelicans looked switched on, and then like OKC like weathered the storm, then brought it back. And to be quite honest, I thought this game was the Pelicans to lose, and they disappointed me again.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna be honest as well. I'm kind of watching the Thunder. Like, I'm keen. They got Giddy. I'm watching them, but I didn't expect them to win that. But yeah, they kind of surprised us. I think the big disappointments for the Pelicans. CJ had a pretty bad shooting night. Had 14 points, 1 from 5 from 3. And then, yeah, even Valanciunas, who started really hot, 18 rebounds, but he only had 16 points. So then it kind of just fell on BI to carry the team. He did have a good game, to be fair.
Yes.
30 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds.
He got a dagger of a 3-pointer at the end of the game, but didn't get the foul call to even it out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's hard to get refs to blow their whistle in that sort of time of the game.
Yeah.
I think at the beginning, like in the first quarter, they were just New Orleans Pelicans were moving around and they just sort of faltered a bit and they couldn't get anything to hit at the end. And it's sort of been the Pelicans' problem. And I think why Zion is so important to that team is that, I don't know, Valanciunas gets to a point where he's just not he doesn't stay aggressive the whole game sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair, because he was actually shooting on a good percentage, but I don't think he even took enough shots, and I don't think he gets the same shots that he would when Zion's there, because inside, if you got Zion, you've got everyone closing on him, and then Valanciunas is open, or even on the perimeter. And I think the big thing for me for the Pelicans was that outside of Trey Murphy, he went 4 from 10 from three. Every other Pelicans player only hit 1 3 throughout the entire game. And Zion, you know, he creates just open people on the perimeter because everyone has to close in on him. So it would have been a very different story if he was there.
And look, both teams were protecting the three pretty well. Like, both teams shot around 30% for the three. I just wish that, like, we got a bit more... Like, when if the three's not falling, and, like, why isn't Valanciunas posting up more? Why did he only take 7 shots if he was getting his own rebounds?
Such a good point, because the Thunder are actually one of the smaller teams. They don't really have a dedicated... I mean, they've got Jalen Williams, I can't remember which Jalen it is, the bigger one, but he's, like, the only real center. I mean, they've got Dario Saric, who came in to the roster, but, man, they're a small team. Like, Valanciunas should be exploiting that. He should be making the most of it.
I was like, he was playing so hard and aggressively in the first quarter half. And then the second half, they kind of just... It's almost like they ran out of steam. Like, they were doing really well, and then they just... I don't know. OKC caught up, and New Orleans were kind of like, oh, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I think that was the thing, too. They probably expected it to be a slightly easier game. But that's kind of the story of the Thunder this season, because they're expected to really just be going for Wembanyama. They expect to be a lottery team. But they're kind of proving everyone wrong. They've got a young roster, but they're somehow playing really, really well together.
So many picks. Yeah. The next couple of years. They're averaging like 2 to 4 first round picks each year for the next like 5 years. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Crazy. But they're like, yeah, we technically got picks, but we're still gonna go for the playoffs anyway. So it's exciting. It's an upset.
So with the Pelicans, right, obviously it's a completely different team if Zion was there. And I think if Zion was there, they wouldn't even be in the play-ins.
Yeah.
Now, the announcers, the last thing I want to say about this one is, also, just in general, three out of the four play-in games were bangers, which, so exciting. You could not have scripted it any better. When it comes to Zion, obviously, we've stated that we're pretty concerned with his injury history. But the announcers did say over the air that Zion Williamson has played more games in his first 4 years than Joel Embiid has played in his first 4 years.
That's actually a very fun stat, yeah. Because Embiid was out for just seasons at the start of his career, pretty much. So, yeah, maybe it's not all lost hope, because Embiid is pretty much like
unstoppable
MVP
now,
effectively. So, yeah, that is a good point. So I think we shouldn't give up hope on Zion just yet. Maybe give it a couple more years. I think the big difference between Embiid and him was Embiid was kind of just out for a long time and then came back and then was relatively consistent, whereas Zion's kind of been in and out. So I think that's the only question mark for me. But look,
still technically played more games.
Yeah, still played more games though, yeah.
In the first four years, so...
There's still hope.
Not by much, but... But or by a good 10 to 40 game. I don't remember the stat number for number. But he's, look, I think it's not all doom and gloom. I think obviously everyone's making a lot of fuss about his injury history, but there are some players that have a slow start, especially adjusting to the NBA style. It's a lot. I think it's another step up from college. So I'm still hopeful for Zion. He makes such a difference.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of making a difference, should we get on to the last game of the play-ins, which was the Timberwolves against the Lakers?
So hot. Alucinante. Como el picante. It's Harry's Hot Sauce.
I am so mad at the Timberwolves.
Tell me why.
They threw it. They were on fire.
Yep.
And they threw it away. The game was winnable. There was a lot of issues. And do you know what it came down to? And there's been so much talk about this particular person.
I think I could hazard a guess.
This is my hot sauce for the day. The Minnesota Timberwolves lost because they did not have Rudy freaking Gobert. Now, everyone's been saying after the altercation between Rudy and Gobert, between Rudy and Anderson, that Rudy has all this stuff. Everyone's like, everyone I've listened to, no one has defended Rudy.
Yeah,
I think
that's why it's a hot take, because no one's had this perspective yet.
Everyone's going at Rudy of like, you know, even JJ Redick was like, you know, there's a line you don't cross, and Gobert crossed it, and yada yada. Everyone's, you know, going at Rudy, and I don't know. Look, he's a bit arrogant, and I get that, but I don't know why people dislike him so much. I think
it's just had multiple controversies in the past. I think it's just been one thing after another, from getting real upset about not getting an all-star to the whole certain virus thing with the microphones and all that. So it's been controversial, but I think it is a little bit unwarranted how much people dislike him.
Don't you have to be a bit up yourself, though? Like, to be this, like, to be at that level, like, don't you have to think, like, believe in yourself a little bit? Like,
yeah, I mean, the league is full of people who are arrogant, and it's just funny how only some of them get targeted the way he does.
This league is full of a lot of dodgy people. Like, let's not talk about some people that have active, like, cases against them that are still in the league or have had active cases against them. Regardless, so here we've got a couple hot sources, but first off, in no way am I saying what Rudy Gobert did was right. He's still in the wrong. However, so all of the backstage rumors coming out is that Rudy was suffering from back spasms, really bad ones, to the extent that pre-game he could not pull up his own basketball shorts.
Damn. Yeah.
And then Kyle Anderson convinced Rudy that it was a really important game and that he should push through it for the team, for the boys. And Rudy said, okay, I'll do it for the boys, for the team. And then Kyle Anderson was complaining to Rudy the whole game about how Rudy was playing bad. Oh, I wonder why Rudy was playing bad.
Yeah.
So
I feel like it's just, yeah, no, that bit hasn't been like publicized as much yet.
Spoken enough about.
Know the context exactly. So yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Rudy was still, you should never punch a teammate. It's pretty obvious, but I can understand why it got to that point. I don't think that people actually know that much, yeah.
If your own teammate has been chirping at you the whole game, you're really pushing through some pain. Like, back spasms aren't anything to mess around with. Like, I'd be pretty annoyed too.
Yeah.
So
it was a build up to that. It wasn't just one isolated incident. It was a lot of factors.
Yes. And so that combined with a McDaniel's broken hand, and then the organization suspended Gobert, which I think they had to do, as much as Gobert would have made a difference in the game. Now we get to the Lakers versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. And my God, Conley is a god.
Yeah, what a good pickup. That veteran experience. And his clutch shots as well. Just, oh my gosh. I love to see it.
Three throws to get them into OT. They weren't smooth, but he got them in. And that's all that matters.
He rattled them in. Man, Conley's my guy because he played on the Grizzlies when I followed them. He played on the Jazz when I followed them. And now he's on the Timberwolves. So I like to see him doing well.
He was six from eight from the three-point line. He was absolutely
cooking.
Ice cold.
Cooking. Red hot, but yeah, I mean, he was just hitting shots when he needed to. And another big surprise too was Kat was really distributing the ball quite well. He had a lot of tough passes he managed to pull off. 24 points.
So Kat played a really, really good game. He was especially in the first half, he was really aggressive. Like, was just the moment there was a mismatch, he was aggressively going at it, and you could really see him being confident and aggressive and getting those points. What let him and the Timberwolves down was that he couldn't keep out of foul trouble. He got into foul trouble late in the third quarter, which pretty much wrecked his effectiveness because he couldn't really charge in there like he was in the first half, which is why I'm saying that if Gobert wasn't a silly person and was there, and this is why, like, everyone's like, oh, Gobert's the worst trade ever. What is Gobert's number one job?
Interior defense.
That too. His one job is to keep Cat out of foul trouble.
Oh yeah, that too. Which is, yeah, him being a good interior defender.
Yeah.
And the best stat that I love as well is that AD was second on the Lakers in points, but all of his points came from free throws or interior shots. He had no three-pointers.
Yep.
Just imagine if the Timberwolves had Gobert with that defense on AD, kept Cat out of foul trouble. It's like, yeah, if only they had a big interior defender. Oh, wait, they did, but they suspended him.
Gobert's one job is to soak up those defensive fouls so that Cat can give away all of his fouls on offense.
Yeah.
That's literally, like, if you take away Cat's suit, like, there was, like, two silly defensive fouls he gave away. And if he hadn't done those, it would have been a completely different game. Completely. Because the moment Cat got into foul trouble, this Minnesota Timberwolves team didn't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah.
Well,
because, I mean, they don't have any bigs. After that, they don't have any bigs left. So. Well,
and then for some reason, they had the ball going through Kyle Anderson instead of Conley. Conley was hot all night. Like, he was icy with how hot he was. Like, it was ice cold how well he was playing. Calculated.
But and to yet, be fair, I mean, Anderson's not a bad distributor. He had 13 assists on the night, by the way, along with four steals and four blocks. So
he had the ball in, like, one of the last plays with, like, less than a minute to go, and he, like, turned it over.
Yeah, he did have four turnovers too. But I think they were just running it through him because they didn't have the same personnel that they normally had or have on the field. I think they were changing their game.
Conley was on the floor. Why weren't they getting the ball to Conley, like, straight away?
Yeah, probably because they were trying to find him on the perimeter to hit his shots. But they should have been running it.
They just completely stalled out in the second half to Minnesota. And it was so frustrating. It was a masterclass in how to throw a game. Absolute masterclass.
A couple little fun stats is that D'Angelo Russell went 1 for 9.
He sucks.
Had a terrible, terrible game. So I think that it was probably the best move that the Timberwolves could have made was to move him and get Conley. So that was a fun little matchup. And then, honestly, off the bench, Schroeder had a good game, and Hachimura had a pretty decent game too. So I think the Lakers, other than D'Angelo Russell, some of their trades have been really important for them for this second half of the season. I don't really want them to make the playoffs, but they made some good moves, and I think, yeah, they've managed to make it there. But the Timberwolves have a second chance. They will be matching up against the Thunder.
If the Timberwolves lose against the Thunder, I am going to be livid.
So you're predicting them to win?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, well, if Gobert's served his one game suspension, then theoretically he will be good to play.
If OKC had trouble stopping Valanciunas, imagine what Gobert could do.
Well, I mean, Valanciunas didn't exploit it as much as they could. But it will be an interesting matchup considering the Thunder really doesn't have much in the way of size. Timberwolves could potentially be running Cat and Gobert starting again.
Gobert, at least 15 rebounds.
Oh, yeah, at least you expect.
At least.
So as much as I want to see the Thunder do well, I'm probably also calling the Timberwolves. But it was a shaky game, so it'll be interesting. Although, I mean, look, they took the Lakers to OT. So at least was close.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was so clutch. I was on the edge of my... Like, that was the first time Conley had been to the line. And he nailed it. And also, that was a really, really bad foul by AD.
It's
stuff like that, for me, holds me back from thinking that Anthony Davis is, like, a generational talent.
I mean,
some people try to hype him up as.
I'm not as hype on AD as a lot of people are, because people used to put him like top 5 in the league. I wouldn't go that far, but he is a solid player when he's actually healthy.
Yeah, but you know, like, LeBron wants to, like, hand off to the next superstar, and AD's good when he's on. Did you see how many times he? Oh, you didn't watch the game, but, like, he was clutching body parts for the whole game.
Yeah.
And it's little silly mistakes like that that, like, if you want to take the next step up, like, if you want to go from, you know, like, what's the difference between, like, a Scottie Pippen and a Michael Jordan?
Go from, like, all-star to, like, GOAT.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's stuff like that. You can't afford, like, the fouling Conley got them into OT, and they would, and it was really lucky. Not lucky, but, like, Los Angeles got lucky that they didn't lose that. And if they had lost that, it would have been AD's fault.
Yeah. It was a tough call because it wasn't, like, the hardest of fouls. But
oh, no.
Props to Conley for being smart, because one of the previous shots he made against AD, too, he, like, faked it, waited for the exact moment that AD stopped committing to the block, and then went up for the shot again. So he's a sly old fox.
It was an absolute foul. AD landed on top of him and sent, like, he might have exaggerated the fall a little bit, but AD landed on him and hip checked him. Like, it was, you watch it in slow motion, 100% a foul.
You can't be fouling 3-point shots.
No.
That's just, so stupid.
And the refs are looking for excuses to not blow their whistle on a 3-point shot in the last, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
No, so the fact that they did blow the whistle meant that the contact was there.
Yeah. But they survived, and they're on to face the Grizzlies, which, look, in the East, guys going up against the Celtics and Bucks, I'm like, nah, easy sweep. But I don't know. The Grizzlies have been a little all over the place. So
My fantasy squad reckons that the Lakers have got this
for some reason. I think people hype the Lakers too much, but I will say that the Lakers aren't going to get swept. I'll say they're not
going to. No. They're like, oh, yeah, the Grizzlies don't have any rebounding, so therefore LA is just going to destroy them. And I was like, hold up, but you still have to stop the Grizzlies from scoring. Like, they're full of machine guns.
They've got so many weapons offensively, so yeah, I think the Lakers lose that, but at least it should be an interesting series at the very least.
Like, there are a couple of people on my fantasy who are just like, no. Like, the Grizzlies will win 2 games, Lakers in 4.
No, I think that's wild.
And I'm just like, really? I don't know. I don't think this team's that good still.
No. I mean, look, I was probably being a little bit too harsh on the Lakers because they really did step it up second half of the season, but I still don't think that they're all that. Although, who knows? They got LeBron. He does crazy things in the playoffs, so who knows?
I have to see. But if, D'Angelo Russell sucked, though.
Yeah, no, he's been cold, so... Oh, there are a lot of factors. It's going to be interesting. So, can't wait to see what happens with the last play-in games, because then we're in playoffs, baby, and that'll be juicy.
We're ready. Thanks for listening, guys. Please give us a like and a subscribe. Give us all of the NBA stars, please. And we'll see you next week, where we can almost review most of the first round of the playoffs.
Gonna be good. Gonna be a big one.
Peace. We out.
See ya.